In the canon of the Broadway musicals, we have the legendary hits, the legendary stories, the legendary scores, and the legendary flops. Musicals that, for one reason or another, have come and gone in the blink of an eye, but still remain as legends. Most recently, Spider-Man. But also, in a not-too-distant past, there was Carrie the Musical, which is the offering that Showbiz Players is bringing to Cincinnati starting on September 20th. And joining me in the studio is the director, Michael Sean Starks. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
Carrie the Musical, based on the Stephen King novel. A lot of people, when it originally came out back in the 90s, were like, what?
Yes.
But it had a short life, and it was remounted about a year ago. And this is the version that you're doing.
Correct. I did go to see the off-Broadway production last year. Actually, I have a friend at Rodgers and Hammerstein who treated me to two viewings of that. We went to one performance. We were walking out the door, and I was smiling so big. He said, hey, you want to go see it tomorrow? And I said, yeah.
And this version actually did much better than the original Broadway version.
It did. It had a limited run, but it was extended, so it went over much better.
And now you're bringing it to Cincinnati.
I am. It's a regional premiere.
And you're doing it with Showbiz Players.
Yes.
What is it about the musical that had you smiling so big? What is it as a director that engaged you and wanted you to do this?
I think ever since I read the novel when I was young, something about the story really stuck with me. And I've actually done some introspection lately to try to figure out what it is about this story. When most people look at it and go, really? Carrie? The musical? There's something about it that really speaks to me. And I think part of that is I was brought up in a strict religious household myself. My father was a Church of Christ minister. And also, I came out of the closet when I was 16. So I had my own dealings in high school. Now, of course, they were not nearly as traumatic as what happens with Carrie, but there was a lot to touch on there that reflected on my life. So I think it stuck with me.
It's based on the Stephen King novel and shares a lot of similarities, but there are some variances. But overall, the story kind of combines religion and supernatural powers and growing up as a teenager.
Yes. I think there is a delicate balance in the show. You find these heightened reality moments of almost grand opera, if you can term it that, in the pop vein, between Carrie and her mother Margaret. And then you go to the high school settings where everything's more teenage angst and, hey, am I going to look great for the prom? And that's all a little lighter until we get further into the story when the plot is being enacted against Carrie. So there's a balance in there you have to find between the scenes so you can get a level going through and yet still give a showcase to each side of it.
Who's in your cast?
My cast is absolutely incredible. I was a little worried when we went into auditions. I didn't know if they were going to be there. And I wound up with absolutely the most perfect cast I could have. To start off, we have 15-year-old Melissa Campbell. This girl is a firecracker. She takes every note I throw at her, internalizes it, and it's right there for me the next time I see it. And her voice is absolutely astounding. She blows all of us away. Also, we have Leslie Hitch playing Margaret, her mother. You and I know Leslie. We've worked with Leslie before in The Baker's Wife at the Carnegie. She's done some work at the Ensemble Theater, Covedale, the Kentucky Symphony. Also, Brooke Steele is playing Chris, the bad girl. She just recently played Susie in The Marvelous Wonderettes at Ensemble. She's done three shows there with that. Also, with those two, it's been very interesting to see them play against type. Leslie has to play this overbearing, nearly crazy, religiously zealous mother, and Brooke has to play this nasty queen bee type who enacts this horrible plot against this poor defenseless girl.
And that brings us to a very important point. People familiar with the story know the climax involves embarrassing her at the prom. Also, throughout the story, she exhibits powers of telekinesis. So there is a great deal of special effects work done in this show, isn't there?
There is. We have to float books and float statues of Jesus and basically kill everybody at the prom through telekinesis. So it's pretty interesting.
Who do you have handling your fight combat or choreography?
Fight combat, we have Mel Bennett Murphy. who is fantastic. And we have Amy Burgess doing our choreography. It's all very energetic. She took my concept and really worked with it. I told her that I wanted this sense of controlled chaos. And she said, well, that's what I do best.
For listeners who may not be familiar with Showbiz Players, tell us a little bit about the group.
Showbiz Players has been around for, I believe, 15 years. I may be wrong about that. This is my first show with them. In the recent past, they've done a number of acclaimed productions, most recently Spring Awakening, before that Avenue Q. Showbiz does have a focus on bringing premieres to the area that most other community theaters won't do for one reason or another, whether the technical difficulties or the material is a little harder than what most community theaters do. I'm very pleased with my work with them. It's a very fun, very supportive group of people.
And this production, as well as several in the past couple of years, is being done at the Carnegie Center for Visual and Performing Arts.
Correct.
Now, you said this is the first production you've directed for Showbiz. Is this your first directing debut?
This is my first musical. It's my second directing job. In 2011, I directed The Haunting of Hill House for Greater Hamilton Civic Theater. So, as you can see, I have a bit of a macabre sense of drama.
I understand you have a special little story about the original production.
Oh, speaking of the original Broadway production, yes, I do have a favorite anecdote, which may or may not be myth, but certainly the outcome of it was true. The problems with the original production stemmed from the Royal Shakespeare Company producing the show and having a British director. So there's a story that the British creative team did not understand the customs and culture of American high schools, so they weren't exactly sure how to approach that aspect of the show. So over the phone, they spoke with the American creators and asked, how do we do this? And they were told, think Grease. And think Grease meant think Grease the musical. Somehow this translated into think Grease the country. So when the show opened in the girls' gymnasium and they're doing this highly aerobic dance number, they were all dressed in modified togas, and somehow the production turned out to be a sort of Greek tragedy or morality play. Let me assure you, that is not the direction that this show is taking. It has all been completely revised and updated. All the original concepts the creators had that were thrown aside for the original production have come back. Songs have been replaced. Songs have been rewritten. It's a beautiful, beautiful production.
Well, that's Carrie the Musical, being performed by Showbiz Players at the Carnegie Center for Visual and Performing Arts, running September 20th through the 29th. For more information on the musical and ordering tickets, please be sure to visit our website at WVXU.org. I'd like to thank this evening's guest, Michael Sean Starks, the director of Carrie the Musical. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jim. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
For Around Cincinnati, this is Jim Stump.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. We give you this year's King and Queen of the Prom. Tommy Ross and Carrie White.
Hail, Alma Mater. Oh, Mother, we salute you. We proclaim.